blessed and highly favored to know that we have a risen Savior. That we have a risen Savior. As we were reminded this morning through that beautiful visual of exactly what happened, it is an incredible time in our lives. You know, for pastors, sometimes it's difficult after we have worked our way towards Resurrection Sunday and we've gotten so excited about it, and Resurrection Sunday comes and it happens, and so we're very, very excited about that, and we continue to share with people, we continue to try to do all of the things, but it's almost like, I don't want to say a letdown, but it's almost like, how do you follow that, right? How do you follow that? You worked so hard to come and be part of that, and to lead everybody to know Jesus and to see him on that day, and then all of a sudden you're kind of starting again with what do we do? How do we build on that? And building on something like the resurrection is hard when you're trying to do it as a sermon. But as I thought about that this week, and as I continue to just pray about what God would do, one of the things that I thought about was this. I thought about that for many, Jesus' death on the cross seemed to be the end. But for us, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. His death on the cross and his resurrection is the beginning. It's the beginning of our walk. And how do we continue in that walk, and how do we tell everybody about that? Resurrection Sunday is amazing to celebrate. It's amazing. Listen, I don't know if you saw any other celebrations on internet services or on television. Maybe you attended a different service in addition to this one, or in lieu of it because of family, whatever. Maybe you saw different ones. But it is usually a very impressive day. Lots of people that perhaps don't come any other time may show up. And all the pastors know that. All the pastors know that. So it's one of those things that they teach you in seminary. Listen, on that day, you got to bring it. You got to bring it. On that day, you really got to bring it, because you don't know if that person may ever be back in the service again. And so all across the nation, you saw, I mean, ramped up services. But my thing is, we need to bring it every Sunday. And then we need to take what we've learned in this Resurrection Sunday after we've celebrated, and we need to think about what follows the resurrection. What follows the resurrection? Do any of you live in the United States of America? Okay, good. So we all live in the United States of America. This is a country that's built on the freedom of worship. It's built on trust and following in God. That's how it began. And this country, as it continued to evolve and the things that it's done, has followed a path that's not exactly in that direction anymore. There are so many things that happen. And so one of the things that I thought about in our country today, and across the world, in fact, is the disunity of people. The disunity of people. One of the things on Palm Sunday, we saw all of the people coming together and celebrating Jesus. What an amazing picture. But then when the death, the trial came, they all stood out there shouting, "Crucify him." And then after the resurrection, everything just went kind of crazy. Some people were sad. Some people were excited. Some people were glad. There were so many things going on, but everyone just became disunified. Even the apostles were struggling. Everyone was struggling. But I want you to take a look today at Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to go 24 through 29, and we're going to talk about being unified through the risen Savior. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I want us to understand. The resurrection, through the resurrection came faith. Prior to the resurrection, prior to the death of Christ, prior to the salvation that we were given through that, the law was the thing that drove people. The law was the thing that helped them understand that they were wrong. The law was the thing that brought them to that point of submission and understanding. And so Jesus did not come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. And so in this passage, it's saying that through the law was teaching us about the ways that we were walking. It was teaching us of our sin. It was teaching us of the things in life that we were not doing according to what we should be. It was showing us that there is God, and God has the rules for us. He shows us what we are to do. He shows us what sin is, and that came through the law. But when Jesus came, the law was fulfilled. And faith took its place. Faith in Jesus. Faith in the gospel message. Faith in all of those things. The law was fulfilled and was not needed to teach us anymore. In fact, the resurrection destroyed the divisions and unified the sons and daughters of Christ. It destroyed the divisions. What divisions? It destroyed the divisions of the Greeks and the Jews. It destroyed the divisions of those who were lifted up high by a position. It destroyed the division of those who said, we're the chosen people and you're not. It destroyed the divisions and all of that because Christ died for all. And it tells us that in this resurrection, the divisions were destroyed and the sons and daughters of Christ were unified into one. Unified into one. No longer are we separated by our divisions. We're unified into one if we know Jesus Christ. Sometimes I think this, that people believe the division in humanity today is a new thing. What division are you talking about? Well, there's all kinds of them. Take your pick. There's lots of divisions. There's division by your skin is darker than mine. There's divisions by, well, I live in a better place than you. There's divisions by ethnicity. There's divisions by people's religion. There's divisions by their job skills. There are divisions by their sexual preferences. Whatever it might be, all these divisions are here. And the world says that's what we count on. Those are the things that we celebrate. Those divisions, this disunity, it's always existed. It didn't just start in the 20th century. It didn't just start recently. These divisions have always been there. Humanity wants to point out the differences. We're different. And so because we're different, we can't be together. I heard something someone said recently. And they said, when we really boil it down and start to look at people, and we look at those, all these divisions, all these differences, what you find out when you start looking at humanity, because by the way, all mankind was made in the image of God, when we start to look at the humanity, we realize we have more in common than we have different. We have more in common than we have different. You see, no matter what your situation in life is, no matter what your skin color is, no matter your socioeconomic status, no matter what it is, you have sorrow just like they have sorrow. You have joy just like they have joy. You have trouble just like they have trouble. Every day is a challenge in life. We all go through it. Yet for some reason, we as a country, we as people, as human beings, want to focus on the differences instead of being unified through Christ. But I want you to look at verse 26 again. It says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There's no other requirement. There's no other standard. There's no other block you have to check. You don't have to be from a certain location or be of a certain ethnicity or be in any way. We're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. When we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we are all children of God. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible to think about that we are all children of God when it comes to that? There are no differences. Those are not celebrated by Christ. Yes, does he use us in different ways? Sure. Or because we were made in different ways, are we used differently sometimes? Yes. But the reality is we're still children of God. This is Paul talking to the Galatians, by the way. But it could just as well be spoken today. It could just as well be spoken today. Listen, we are all children of God if we have called upon him as our Lord and Savior. Well, preacher, this is all great. But you know, we're here in church because, well, we know God. And we're coming to worship. And, you know, you're talking about everybody being the same in God. Well, we already know that. So why is it that you're standing up there talking about all this? Because I believe as believers in Christ, we must embrace that we are now one with Christ, no differences. We have to embrace that. Why embrace it? Why do you say we need to embrace it? Well, it's simple. Our country, especially, likes to emphasize the differences and teach hatred for those differences. Oh, come on. Hatred? Absolutely. Absolutely. We cannot tolerate people that are different than us. We can't tolerate people that live in a different place. We can't tolerate people that follow this God. We can't tolerate people because they're this way or that way. It's hate. Pure and simple. It's hate. The world is teaching hate. Listen, we came in this place last week. We celebrated the risen Savior. We came in this place this morning. We celebrated the risen Savior who died for all. He died for all. He stepped out of that tomb, those arms open wide, to accept all. Why is it that we accept what the world tells us and we embrace the hate? Well, listen, preacher, we're not doing it here, are we? Are churches just as guilty as others are? When I joined the Army, it's an amazing thing. I joined the Army. They gave me all new clothes. In fact, they took all my old clothes away. I didn't know if I'd ever see them again. They went and locked them away somewhere, right? They gave me all brand new clothes. They gave me the same clothes that everybody else had on. In fact, for a lot of us, when we put on those uniforms and our hats and whatever, if you didn't see the name tag, you didn't know who it was. They all looked just alike. Everybody looked just alike. And you know what they told us? I'll never forget. The uniform was green. So they taught us this was the color of everyone in the Army. We are all the same. There's no black, no white, no brown, no red, no any other color. The color is green. We're all Army. We're all one. We're all the same. And we're not talking about any of these differences. And we're not holding grudges against somebody just simply because of how they were born. We're all one color. We're all the same. It's a shame that the United States military does a better job of teaching people that people should be unified than believers in Christ. If we as believers all put on the same clothing of Christ, which is what that passage said, we all put on Christ. If we all put on the same clothing of Christ, we must understand we are all the same. We're all the same. When we call upon the name of Jesus and we accept him as our Savior and we put Christ on, we're all the same. Again, preacher, I'm just wondering why you're talking to us about that. Well, look at verse 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. You're all one in Christ. This is what Paul is saying. The differences disappear when we are unified in the risen Savior. The differences disappear when we're unified in the risen Savior. We become one body. And if that's the case, we all become one body in Christ. Why is it that we have such a hard time being unified for the purpose of reaching others for God? Why is it that we have such a hard time and we say, well, our church is better than that church is better than this church? Listen, I've said this many times before. I want you to seriously think about this. The 11 o'clock hour on Sunday is the most segregated hour in the country. Think about that. What, 500 yards down the street, there's another church. They're meeting this morning. They're celebrating the Savior, the same God we're celebrating. They're celebrating Jesus. They're celebrating that the only way to the Father is through the Son. They're celebrating just exactly the way we are, yet they're celebrating in a different building just down the street. Why? Why? Well, our skin color is a little different. So they got to go to their church. We got to go to our church. Why? Why is that? We all put on Christ. We all put on Christ. You know, across the county of Mobile, there are churches that have a congregation that's predominantly Vietnamese. They have congregations that are predominantly other ethnicities across the globe. We have more international people in the city of Mobile than most cities in the United States. And they meet in different circles every Sunday. We have churches meeting that have younger congregations. We have churches meeting that have older congregations, and they don't come together. We have all these people who say, I am a child of God. I believe in Jesus Christ. He is my Savior, yet I can't meet with you. I can't meet with you on Sunday morning. We can't do that. Why? We're supposed to be unified in a risen Savior. We're supposed to be one in Christ. We are all supposed to be His children, lifted up by the resurrection power. And yet, we want to stay separate. Separate. Why? That's the big question. Why? Why do I want to stay separate? People come to a church. They check it out. I think I like these people. I think I can join this church. I can be part of this church. And they come and they join the church and they're accepted in. Some people come to this church and they come in and they say, these people are a lot different than I am. I don't think I can stay here. I think I need to go. I need to find a church where they're more like me. They're more like you. How? When we come together in a church, what are we looking for? Are we looking for a group of people that are worshiping God? Are we looking for a group of people that love Jesus? Are we looking for a group of people that wants to change the world by sharing the gospel of Christ? If that's what we're looking for, then it's here. It's also there, and it's also there, and it's also there. So why are we separated? Sometimes we're separated because of geographic location. I live way down in Bala Battery. It's too far to drive all the way out there. So I go to a church down there. Okay, I can understand that. But when we're looking at churches, I counted them one time just between the beginning of right at Cody and Ziegler. You come up Cody on the Overlook and all the way down to University, there's like 7 different churches. Folks, that's less than 5 miles. And we have all these different churches that are stacked up. Why? Because instead of celebrating the unity in Christ, we focus on the differences. This morning we saw a representation of Jesus stepping out of that grave. And when he stepped out, he didn't say, I'm here this morning for all of the Southerners. I stepped out of the grave for all of you people west of the Mississippi. I stepped out of the grave for all you people whose skin color is the same as mine. I stepped out of the grave. He didn't say anything like that. When Jesus stepped out of the grave with his arms open, he rose for everyone. Why are we so segregated? Brothers and sisters, listen to me. We have to be the ones to tear down racism in America. Let me say that again. We have to be the ones to tear down racism in America. Those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there is no room for racism in our life. There is no room for us to be segregated from those who also know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We have to show the world that we're one. And by showing the world that we're one, we can begin to reach people that we can't reach otherwise. The reality is, we celebrate a risen Savior. And oh, how wonderful we celebrate that resurrection day. And then we just go back to being segregated again. Christ's resurrection provided the unity. We must embrace it. We must embrace it. We are different in our looks. Everybody can't be as handsome as I am. We are different in how we were raised. We're different in all those things, but listen to me. We are more alike than we are different. We're all made in the image of Christ, and that's the most important thing. That's the most important thing. Look with me to verse 29. Verse 29 said, "And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the purpose, according to the promise." This verse shows that we as Christ followers are grafted into God's chosen people. We are grafted into God's chosen people. He brought us in. He said, come on into the family. Come on into the family. And if God's purpose was to bring people into one family, then why is it that our purpose is not the same? Why is it that our purpose is not the same? To bring everyone into God's family. We look at this, listen, even today there are people that have grand arguments over whether or not the Jews are the chosen people of God. Scripture tells us that Jews are a chosen people of God. But it also said that if you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, then you are grafted into the chosen people. And it didn't say that simply because they were a Jew, they were going to heaven. It said they're the chosen people. And if they call upon the name of Jesus Christ, the scripture says, if you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. It says that if we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It says the only way to the Father is through the Son. And so it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what label put on you, until you accept Jesus and you know that he is the Savior, then only then can you get to the Father. It's one body. No separations. Yet we're too busy worried about what the name on the door says. We're too worried about whether the name on the door says this church or that church. We're out trying to bring people into church and we get in direct competition with other churches. If the scripture said that because of the resurrection of Christ, we have become one in him, that we have been clothed in Christ, that we are one body, that we need to be unified, then the name on the door doesn't matter. What matters is, are we telling people about him? Are we sharing the gospel? Are we living that life in Christ? Or are we listening to the lies that the world tells, and are we celebrating the differences and the separations and calling ourselves righteous because of it? That's not righteous. That's not righteous. It's not because of our ethnicity, our culture, our geographic birth, or anything like that. That's not why we are one. We become unified as one people, the children of God. That's how we become one. Through God. Through Jesus. Through that death, burial, and resurrection. That is how we become one. We become unified. Unified as one. Through the resurrection of Christ. Well, you've said that a lot today, preacher. And I understand what you're trying to say. You're talking about that a whole lot. And I get it. But, you know, is that really the message that we need today in this church? Yes. Why is it the message we need today in this church? Because I want you to look around. I want you to look around. Where are all the people? Nobody told them about Jesus. They haven't come. We have opportunity next Saturday morning to go out and knock on doors. You know what we're going to do? We're going to tell people about Jesus. We're going to invite them to come to church. We're going to go and do that. Why? Because that's the most important thing. Anybody concerned about what's going on in the world these days? There's a lot of bad things going on in the world. Man, there's wars, there's natural disasters, there's all of these things that are happening. Who knew it was ever going to be like that? Well, I did. I read Matthew. I read about the last days. I read Revelation. I read about the last days. And by the way, we've been living in the last days since Jesus went back to heaven. But as these things get more and more, we experience more and more birth pains. How long will it be before Jesus returns? If somebody out there knows, then I'm going to call you a liar, because the scripture said nobody knows but the Father. How long is it before Jesus returns? Could it be today? Absolutely. Could it be tomorrow? Sure. Could it be 500 years from now? Yes. But we don't know. If I was in a building and I could see the building was beginning to crumble around me, and if I leaned on a post too hard, the whole thing was probably going to come down, and there's other people in the building, you know what I'm going to say? Hey, y'all get out. This is dangerous. You have a chance of getting killed in this building. Let's get everybody out of here before it's too late. That's just a minor little thing when it comes to eternity. When it comes to eternity. This life is tiny when it comes to eternity. And yet we won't tell the people that we know that are around us that are not following Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We won't say, hey, Jesus is coming back. And when he does, it's too late. And the scriptures say if you die in your sin, you will spend eternity in hell. We won't tell people that because we don't talk about hell. You don't talk about hell. That's too. Don't talk about that. Listen, you can't talk about heaven without talking about hell. You can't talk about heaven without talking about hell, because it's just as real. The reality for us is if we are a unified people, the children of God, we need to be sharing that with every person that we can. We need to be the ones that show the world that this body of believers nationwide, worldwide, is one body of Christ, and that because of that, we want to share with the world how they too can know and how they can be saved. We need to be unified as one through the resurrection of Christ. Unified as one. Not as all these other bodies, but unified as one. You know, we talk about church local, we talk about church universal. Well, what's the difference? Church universal means the church that the scripture talks about. When the scripture talks about church, it's not talking about the local church. It's not talking about the building we attend. It's talking about the body of Christ. When we talk about church local, it's where you actually show up on a Sunday morning and worship. The church local is supposed to be part of the church universal. We're supposed to be trying to win souls into the church universal. We're trying to show people that we're one body of Christ. Listen, I love celebrating Easter. I love it. I love celebrating that resurrection. It's an awesome time. But because of the resurrection, we can't stop there. We must continue to reach people for the gospel of Christ. So I ask this question of you today. Have you accepted the Savior? Have you accepted the Savior? Well, listen, preacher, I mean, you know, we're here. Yeah, that's true. But I want you to understand this. On that day when Jesus returns, there'll be two working in the field. One will be gone and one will remain.